verse number 10 says, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. Hello, this is Pastor Wynn Greer, and you're listening to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. This is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. And while we're talking about that, I just want to take a moment and invite you to come and be with us if you are in the area. And maybe you do not have a regular church home, or maybe you've just moved here. We'd love for you to come and visit Mount Lebanon. We're located just outside of Boone from Highway 105 South. You take a right on Baird's Creek Road, and we are 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road. That is just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. And we have Sunday school for all ages, Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., then our regular Sunday morning worship service at 11 a.m. And then every Wednesday night at 7, we have our midweek prayer and Bible study. And so it's good to be here today. We hope everyone had a wonderful Thanksgiving. We had some great services at church where that's just what we did. We just met together and just had last Wednesday night, just gave thanks and had testimonies. And then that carried over into Sunday morning. And so we just had a great time, and we thank the Lord for that. It's good to see Noah in here with us today. Noah, how are you?
I'm good. It's good to be here this morning. And we do want to say welcome to all our listeners. Those who listen in right here on AM 1450 WATA out of Boone, North Carolina. Our listeners on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia. And those who listen in on 89.1 FM, The Truth, out of Wiretown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate all of our listeners and those of you that listen in each and every week. You know, we've been doing a series that we have entitled Heroes of Liberty, and talking about different individuals or groups of people and their contribution to liberty. And so we're going to continue on with that today. Now, 2 weeks ago, last week we did a special on the Pilgrims, but 2 weeks ago we looked at General Douglas MacArthur, and I'm sort of going to go back to that broadcast. What we talked about a couple of weeks ago was General Douglas MacArthur, and we focused on his involvement during post-World War II, Japan, Guam, the Philippines. We talked about a little-known fact of history that General MacArthur, after World War II, and he was placed in charge of rebuilding Japan, he made a plea for Bibles and missionaries to be sent to Japan. And we talked about a couple of weeks ago how that liberty is not only national. We think about maybe the liberation of Europe, but it is also spiritual. Liberty is a spiritual thing, and we want to focus on that once again today. But at the end of that broadcast, talking about General Douglas MacArthur, I mentioned a gentleman by the name of Mitsuo Fuchida. And what I said about him, and maybe some people remember that or you're familiar with that name, but he is the gentleman. He was instrumental in planning the attack on Pearl Harbor. He also led the attack from the air on Pearl Harbor, which took place December the 7th, 1941. Now, this coming Sunday will be December the 7th, and it will mark the 73rd year anniversary of the attack on Pearl Harbor. So this time period that we're talking about, and this 73-year anniversary coming up, we thought we'd just go right back and say some more about that. But, of course, the attack on Pearl Harbor is what drew America into World War II. At first, we were, sort of like things going on today. You know, we're supportive, but we're not involved. You know, boots on the ground. Of course, Pearl Harbor changed all of that. But it was Mr. Fuchida who gave the radio message, and maybe you remember this from history. He was flying along, and they had left Japan early that morning, and he gave the radio message in three words, Torah, 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 and that was the signal to commence the attack on Pearl Harbor. Now, from a Japanese standpoint, the attack was a complete success. The Japanese only lost 29 aircraft. They caught Pearl Harbor completely by surprise. The Japanese lost 29 aircraft, but the U.S. Pacific Fleet lost 2,403 lives on the attack of Pearl Harbor. 21 ships, including almost every battleship. So you talk about a military victory. That was a huge blow to our naval fleet. There were also 188 aircraft were destroyed, and another 159 were damaged. Now, during the attack on Pearl Harbor, there was an American soldier who heard about the attack. And of course, all of America, it didn't take long till they begin to hear about Pearl Harbor being attacked. Well, there was a soldier, and he immediately decided, now he was already in the military, but he decided he wanted to be involved in getting revenge for what the Japanese had done to us. And his name was Jacob DeShazer. Jacob DeShazer. He was one of the Doolittle Raiders. Now, if you know anything about the Doolittle Raiders, that's named after General Jimmy Doolittle. And he is one of America's most beloved veterans. But that raid was named after him. And what they did, the Doolittle Raiders, they hatched a plan to attack Japan. And what they did, they launched B-25 bombers from aircraft carriers. And so they launched from an aircraft carrier, and they flew and they bombed Japan in 1942. Now, the Doolittle Raiders, they did not have enough fuel to return to the aircraft carrier. So what they did after they bombed Japan, they just continued flying. They tried to make it to China, but what happened was they ran out of fuel in China, but it was a Japanese-controlled territory that they had to crash land in. And so they had to crash land their planes, and of course they survived the crash, but they were captured by the Japanese. And so Jacob DeShazer, who got involved to get revenge on the Japanese, and of course, we'll read and talk a little bit about his life story, but he was satisfied that that's what they did. But now he finds himself, he's captured. He is a prisoner of war. And as a prisoner of war, he was tortured repeatedly. He also witnessed the execution of three of his fellow crew members. One of the crew members died of malnutrition. They were treated horribly during this time of captivity. But to make a long story short, and the story of Jacob DeShazer is a great story in and of itself. We could take a whole broadcast and talk about his life. But while he was there in captivity, a friend gave him a copy of the Bible. And Jacob DeShazer, of course, when he got the copy of the Bible, he was not a Christian, but being there in captivity, he began to just devour it. And he read the Bible. And the thing that moved him the most was when he came to the Gospels and he was reading about how Jesus was crucified and how that Jesus Christ, as he was being crucified, forgave his enemies. The Bible says in Luke chapter 23 and verse number 34, and it's talking there about Jesus being crucified, and it says, "Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots." And what that's talking about is the point during the crucifixion where they gambled for the garments of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus being crucified, he sees these soldiers and they are completely heartless in what they are doing to the Son of God. He has not sinned. He did nobody any wrong. Yet they treated him terribly. The Lord Jesus was tortured. The Lord Jesus was crucified. But as he was going through this ordeal, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And that touched the life, the heart of Jacob DeShazer. And Jacob DeShazer accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior during that time of captivity. And he also made a vow to the Lord. And he vowed that if his life was spared, he would return to Japan in order to do missionary work. And that is exactly what Mr. DeShazer did. Now, we don't have time to tell all about him, but we're going to fast forward in time several years. And we go forward to the time the war is over. Mr. DeShazer has been liberated from Japanese captivity, and he's gone back to the United States, but true to his word, he comes back to Japan to be a missionary to his former captors and to try to win them to the Lord. Now, MacArthur, what we were talking about a couple of weeks ago, 1948 would be the year that I'm talking about, but General Douglas MacArthur, he is in charge of rebuilding post-World War II Japan. And one of the pleas that General MacArthur made, and we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, he pleaded for missionaries to come to Japan, the Philippines, and also for Bibles to be sent over there. General MacArthur said that there was a spiritual vacuum, and this is well documented in several different books and news articles, things of that nature. But he said there was a spiritual vacuum in Japan because up until that time they had worshiped their emperor, and the emperor, a man, had been defeated. And so they worshiped the emperor as a god. Well, their god has been defeated. And, of course, there's been the atomic bomb of Hiroshima. And so there's a lot of devastation in Japan. And he said there's a vacuum here that needs to be filled. And General MacArthur made a plea for Christian missionaries to come to Japan and spread the gospel, and for Bibles to be sent over there for the Japanese people. Now, Mr. Fushida, that we've been talking about, that led the attack on Pearl Harbor, he was called to testify in war crimes trials several times by General MacArthur. Now, he was never convicted, but Mr. Fushida, he's sort of bitter about this. He just has the idea, well, war is war, and what happens during war is a terrible thing. And so he's bitter about this. He's lost his high position in the military. He has gone back to a very lowly lifestyle, just trying to make ends meet. And so here's a man that was about as high as you can go. He's been decorated by the Emperor of Japan for his valor in warfare and all these things. But after the war, all of that's gone. And here he is. He's reduced to just about nothing. And now he has to go, and he is being called to testify about these war crimes. So he was never convicted, but he was called as a witness. Well, Mr. Fushida, he decides to do some investigating on his own because he figures that the Japanese POWs, prisoners of war, were treated just as badly by the Americans as the American POWs were treated by the Japanese. And I want to read just a little bit. I found an article. It was from the Stars and Stripes magazine. And the name of the article is Pearl Harbor Pilot Became Evangelist. And it tells the story of Mr. Fushida. And I want to read just a little bit about picking up where Mr. Fushida, he is going to do some investigating and try to find out how the Japanese prisoners of war were treated. And so it says, a boat returning 150 Japanese released prisoners was to return at Uraga Harbor near Yokosuka. Fushida would gather his proof there. As the men walked toward him, this is these 150 Japanese prisoners of war, said as the men walked toward him, Fushida spotted a familiar face, Kazuo Kanagasaki. I'm making a stab at that the best I can. But it said, was a sailor and friend he thought was long dead. Fushida asked him about his treatment in U.S. captivity. That he was treated relatively well was a surprise. But what followed would ultimately change Fushida's life forever. In his book, God's Samurai, Goldstein writes that Kanagasaki told Fushida of a young girl named Peggy Covell who cared for the Japanese, not only with respect, but as a sister would treat a relative. What was so amazing was that her parents were Christian missionaries whom Japanese soldiers had killed in the Philippines, but only after the missionaries asked for 30 minutes of prayer. But what good is it to pray to a God who could not even save her parents? Fushida pondered. And what did her parents pray? Kanagasaki didn't know. Fushida went to the trials a bit bewildered. He researched what he was told and was astonished to discover it happened as Kanagasaki said. The Koval parents were praying as Japanese swords took their lives. Fushida became curious about the Christian God. He again was ordered to testify in 1948, and as he got off the train at Shibuya Station, a Western man handed him a missionary pamphlet titled, I Was a Prisoner in Japan. And this, as it turns out, was the life story, the testimony of Jacob DeShazer, and how he was treated, and how he came to Christ, and how he forgave his captors and had come back to preach the gospel unto them. Now, what I want to share with you now, I want you to listen real closely. It is a clip from the Merv Griffin Show. And some of you may remember the Merv Griffin Show. It was on for, I think, about 25 or 30 years. But this is about a 3.5 or 4 minute excerpt from the Merv Griffin Show, 2nd of September, 1965. So the war had been over for over 20 years. We found this, and this is Mr. Fushida, and Merv Griffin asked him about Douglas MacArthur, and he tells about what he thinks about Douglas MacArthur, and then he tells about how he came to know Christ. And I just wanted to share this with you today. I got a great blessing out of it. I'd never seen it until yesterday. And you can find this on the internet, Merv Griffin Show, and where it talks about Masudo Fushida. And so if you want to watch the whole thing, it's about 10 minutes. But we're just going to share a little clip with that. You have to listen real close because his English is not very good. So we're going to play that, and you listen, and then we'll come back after that and say a few things.
May I ask your opinion of MacArthur?
Oh, MacArthur was a great man. He had done great things.
He had done great things. Mm-hmm. Were you happy to see him come to Japan after the war and start to rebuild?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
He was welcomed by all Japanese. Mm-hmm.
Now, since the war, Mr. Fushida was converted to Christianity. He has a son and daughter who are U.S. citizens. He is employed now preaching Christianity on the West Coast. Are you planning to become an American citizen, Mr. Fushida?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, you are.
Later. Yes.
Later. Would you tell the story of how you found out about Christianity?
When the war ended, since Japan lost the war, I was still resentful.
You were still resentful when Japan lost the war.
But at the time, many missionaries came to Japan. And 100 missionaries were in Tokyo. So at that time, I was in Tokyo. And one day, I was walking a street.
You were walking?
I was walking a street in Tokyo.
On a street in Tokyo.
And there, I saw an American missionary who was handing out leaflets to the Japanese people, you know. And I was given a copy of the pamphlet. That tells the story of American flyer who was a member of the Dimmy Doolittle Squadron that bombed the Tokyo.
Wait, now, it told the story of an American flyer. Would you help me, Mr.
Doolittle Squadron.
That's right.
Of the Doolittle Squadron.
Doolittle. And when he participated at the Bombardier.
Bombardment.
So he dropped many bombs against Tokyo. He was very satisfied taking the revenge. But after the bombing, they flew away to China. And on his way to China, gasoline ran out. And the crew had to parachute into the Japanese occupied territory in China. So the next morning, he was captured. You know. And he was taken a prisoner of war in Japan. And while he was in prison, he read the Bible. And while reading the Bible, he met Christ. Then his hatred changed to love.
And his hatred?
Hatred. His hatred changed into love.
And after the war, you know, war ended, he came back to Japan as a missionary. And he now loves the people in Japan. This story touched upon my heart.
And one thing,
this story inspired me, one thing, you know, that it was when he read the Bible that his hatred changed to love. So this inspired me to get the Bible so that I could read this wonderful book for myself, by myself, you know. And I bought a Bible, and while I was reading the Bible, I met Christ. This is my testimony.
And so I wanted to share that with you, and I hope you could hear what he was saying. He talked about receiving a leaflet or a pamphlet, and he read it, and he became interested in the Christian God, and he got a Bible, and he read it for himself, and while he was reading the Bible, he received the Christ, is what he said. And Mr. Fushida, he became an evangelist. He came to America. He actually lived out the rest of his days over here. He died of diabetes in 1976, but the rest of his time was spent trying to spread the gospel, that which had brought him peace. And when I think about the story of Jacob de Schazer and how he wanted to get revenge, but he ended up being a prisoner of war, and he read the Bible, and he became a Christian, and he forgave his enemies. And then I read the story of Mr. Fushida and how he was responsible for literally thousands of Americans dying, and we were his enemy. And after the war, he was very bitter. All of that revenge, all of that killing, you know, it did not bring him any satisfaction. It did not bring him any peace in his heart. And after the war, he was very bitter until he got the Bible. He began to read the Bible. He found that Mr. de Schazer's hatred was turned to love, and he testified how that touched his heart, and that interested him, and that inspired him. But it made me think of what the Bible says in the book of Matthew, chapter number 5. I wanted to read a couple of verses over there. Jesus said, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." And as I was thinking about this yesterday, and I was thinking about the life of Mr. de Schazer and the life of Mr. Fushida, the thought came to my mind, no forgiveness, no freedom. No forgiveness, no freedom. And we talk a great deal here on the blessings of liberty. We talk about liberty. We talk about freedom, how important that is, how wonderful that is, how we ought to be thankful for our freedoms, how we ought to guard our liberties. And we talk about all of these things. But I want to say this today. If you do not have forgiveness, you'll never have freedom. Because Mr. Fushida, he got what he wanted during his military lifetime. He was a great military hero. And if you read about his life, his military family heritage went back for generations. And that's what inspired him to join the Japanese military and to rise to high ranks and become a pilot and all of these things. And he accomplished all of those things, but he did not find peace. He did not find satisfaction until he found the Lord Jesus Christ. And Mr. DeShazer, same thing. He wanted revenge on the Japanese. Well, he got it. He became a part of the Doolittle Raiders. They bombed Tokyo. And they no doubt were responsible for the loss of many, many lives, and he felt satisfied because of that. But it did not bring him satisfaction. And no forgiveness, no freedom. It was not until, and there's two things I want to say about that. It was not until they found forgiveness in Christ. They themselves personally found that they could have forgiveness for their sins. They found this in reading the Bible, and they found this in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the second thing that I wanted to say about that is that they gave forgiveness. They gave forgiveness to their enemies for what had been done unto them. And it's impossible to have real freedom and liberty without forgiveness, personal forgiveness, and then extending forgiveness unto others. We're living in a day in America where there's all kinds of divisions. There's all kinds of hatred that is going on in our country today. Riots, protests, cities being in turmoil, and businesses being burnt to the ground. There is no end to that. No amount of protesting will satisfy something that is motivated by revenge and hatred until the whole nation is burnt to the ground. And if the whole nation was burnt down to the ground, they wouldn't be satisfied. Hatred, revenge, bitterness, all of these things, they bring no peace, they bring no satisfaction, they bring no good result from their fruit. It is only in forgiveness that we can be healed as people, as a nation, as individuals. I think about what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. It says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." And so we see that the preaching and teaching of forgiveness and the putting away of bitterness, there's an end to that. There's a peaceful end to that. The worst circumstances can be turned around for good. And we see examples of that from our history in America. I think it's amazing that Mr. Fushida came to America, got on the Merv Griffiths Show, and gave his testimony, and the audience clapped and applauded, and he said, "And that is my testimony." And he did that after the war, and everybody knowing that he was responsible. And I'm sure there were people there that knew people that died during World War II, but there can be forgiveness by and through the Lord Jesus Christ and in Him alone. What a wonderful testimony that is, and a great lesson if our country could apply that once again in our history. Well, we appreciate you listening in today. Noah is going to come and give the contact information. We appreciate him. We do thank you for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless you.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church that's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596, or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.